We are just really honored today. Al is here. Pastor Rob and Jen are back in town. They had a great trip. He'll tell you about it next week, I'm sure. But they're visiting some friends today and another church, and so just kind of taking a breather. And so anyway, without further ado, I just want to introduce Al. You were giving him a good restored welcome today. We are so blessed to have him. Brother Al, thank you.
Well, thank you, Tyson, and that's a rather scary introduction, but it is great to be here. You know, it's been, I don't know how many August times I've come here on a Sunday, and actually Rob and Jen, Pastor Rob's, at my home church, Lighthouse, and my wife Ruth is there this Sunday. She had some ministry things, and so she's over there, and I'm over here, and when I come in August here, it sort of feels like coming home. You're a wonderful church. You're a wonderful church. And I don't know that there's many churches that I've ever seen as intentional. Just like Carlos Guy. I mean, I was kind of being on the spot here. No, that was pretty cool. I mean, very intentional about saying, if this is what we're about, we're going to live this way. And we're all going to help each other live this way. And that kind of focus is very, very powerful. And so it's a real honor to be here this morning. I'd like to begin with a very recent story. Last night, the last couple days. Just got home last night from Albuquerque. An unexpected trip. We've been there June, July, August, we'll be back in September. June, we went to see my wife's sister, Joyce, and her husband, their family. And my wife is Japanese, for those of you that don't know us. So that's her Japanese community with extended relatives. I come from a German background in Hillsboro, and so my daughters got used to those two places to go. We went every year. To Albuquerque. That's always good family time. We went in June. 2 weeks later, we get a call that my sister-in-law, Joyce, was in the last stages of pancreatic liver cancer. And we'd had breakfast together, and I saw her rubbing her stomach, and she had said, I just haven't been feeling that good. Of course, I had no clue that's what she was facing. So we made a trip back, had a wonderful time with her. And her family, and we walked in the house. The first thing she did, she just smiled, and she said, I'm okay. I got 1 foot in heaven and 1 foot here. Those were her first words, and we just had a great time. This last trip, I was so thankful. I was going to leave right after the service. That was our plan. But just had the nudging of the Spirit. No, you need to go earlier. And so we went earlier. And got there Friday morning. And I sat down with Joyce next to the bed. And I said, Joyce, I hope today, and very, very weak at this point, I hope we can talk about your service. And she said, when you do the service, I don't want this about me. I want this focused on God and His love for people. And then she got violently sick for the next hours. The kind of part with pancreatic cancer is just so difficult to watch. Intense pain, and hospice workers were there. They're all trying to get the medication, get control of that pain for 3 hours. Her husband, Ruth, had been up all night. I'm losing track. No, we had some relatively good time on Friday. This was Saturday morning. And so anyway, I sat with her in the afternoon. And everybody else was sleeping. And I thought she'd be sleeping the whole time. And all of a sudden she opened her eyes and she said, can we resume our conversation from this morning? And you know, you hear these stories of at the last time you hear these words. And I had my little notebook there as I was writing things. We won't go through that. But just she'd share for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then she'd go to sleep. And 10 minutes later, resume the conversation. I don't even know if she knew she had been sleeping. And I kind of got my funeral outline from that time. Now the thing about Joyce is, and the verse that I'm going to focus on is one that all of you that have memorized Scripture, you know, Galatians 5:25, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And what everybody has said about Joyce, now she didn't turn that switch on in the last days. She's lived that way for decades. And people would describe her, and they would use those words without knowing they were talking about Scripture. Actually, that's verse 22. Our focus for this message is verse 25 today. But what took place in her life is the message that I've actually been thinking about all summer. Not thinking about today, I've been thinking about this message all summer because it was a message to my heart. It's been a message to my heart. And about halfway through the summer, I said, I think this is what I'm going to share at Restored on this morning. So this is coming from that. And it's verse 25. What I quoted was verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 25, and you can open your Bibles to Galatians 5 because that's where I'm going to read the text for this morning. But the verse, let me say this one verse, it just says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And we have that on a little plaque that someone gave a number of decades ago, and I see that when I walk out of the bedroom in the morning. That's a verse, if I choose to look at it, every morning I see. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, what does this mean? Is it possible? Have you ever had a verse that you said, you know, I think Brother Tyson, I think he lives that verse out. I'm not sure if I can do that. I've had some verses sometimes I've looked at and said, wow. Is that ever going to be true for me? This is one of those verses. That's a very, very powerful one. It reflects, you know, what should be normal for us. As normal as walking. I mean, that's a picture. Keep in step. Keep in step is walking. You know, I came down those steps earlier this morning. Now, when I was a kid, I never looked at a railing. I just, whew! I never thought about taking steps. When did you ever think of taking steps? The older I get, I started hanging on to the railing. Maybe I'll think about a little more going up. But we don't think about steps, do we? Unless we have difficulty walking. So I have a very simple outline for this message. And since I don't have PowerPoints, you're not going to see it. But I think you can kind of remember this outline. Here it is. And this is what I've been thinking about this summer. We live in the Spirit. It's the first point. We walk in the Spirit. Third, we have power in the Spirit. Fourth, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, four words. Live, walk, power, fruit. Can you remember that? Live, walk, power, fruit. You just now memorized my outline. For this morning. We're actually going to focus more on the first two because those are the ones that we do more of. The last two are really pretty much the results of if the first two are happening the right way. So let's read together Galatians 5, 16 to 25. Just listen to these words. Some of you, if you don't want to follow along the Bible, just listen. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Wow, that's quite a list. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here we come to this powerful verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. It's quite a passage of Scripture. It says, if we live by the Spirit, we're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's that nasty list. That's a bad list. I bet there's nobody here that say, I want to have that list. I don't know anybody that say, you know, that'd be great to live with hatred. No, nobody wants that list. But there's a warning here. That nasty list will get you unless you're living under the Spirit. They're at war with each other. That's what it's saying. The Spirit and the flesh, they're at war with each other. There's a fight. That's quite an image that we think of. The two are in conflict. It seems like we have two choices. We either live by the Spirit. If we don't even have a choice. The next is going to happen. In one phase or another, we can very easily go to that next list. So how do we live by the Spirit? I mean, that should be an obvious question, isn't it? How do we live by the Spirit? And I don't think it's so complicated. We complicate life. But I don't think it's so complicated. Most of the truths in Scripture are fairly simple. Now, we can study the rest of our lives because there's a wealth of understanding till we get to heaven. Then we may be in school for a jillion years trying to learn the depth of what we know. But as far as the beginning, the understanding, these key truths, it's not that complicated. So I want to give you two pictures here. And you've probably heard them before. A picture of living in the Spirit. Because that's the first point. How do we live in the Spirit? How do we get there? Here's a picture. It's like air. If we live in the Spirit, it's like we're living in air. Now, when I was looking over my notes this morning, I might have thought about it, but I didn't really think a lot about air, about breathing. It's just kind of happening. I smelled some good coffee when I came in. You know, but we live in the air. There's another picture. I live in my house. When I go home later, I'll walk in my house. Now, I can choose to be outside. You know, January, I suppose I could go sleep outside and it might be whacking on me in the morning. Even in the summer, I can go sleep outside. The mosquitoes and ants are going to do a number on me by morning. But I can live out there. It's not good. If you use those pictures, I live in my house. To live in the Spirit is we live in the right place that God created us for. It's a home where we're with Him. So how do we get there? How do we stay there? How we get there is very simple. It's one word. One word that everybody can say today if you haven't said it recently. Here's the word. Yes. Yes, Lord. I give myself to you. I love that picture. I've been looking at it all morning. What does that say? It just says, yes. Yes, Lord. Totally. Yes. What's our part? There's obedience in there. This part, it talks about crucifying the sinful nature. Now, those here who've memorized Scripture, I bet in your first 20 verses, you learned this verse. Or maybe your next 20. Galatians 2:20. What does it say? For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not me. Christ lives in me. So where am I living? I'm living in a house when that old nature is crucified. When it's acknowledged, it's laid before the Lord. It's at the cross, crucified. It's dead. That's what it means to say yes. Yes says, here I am. Full surrender. You know what doesn't work? 1/4 surrender. We all know that, right? It doesn't work to say, you know, Lord, I'll give you a fourth. And then maybe a little bit down the road, I'll give you a half. Maybe I'll give you 3/4. Maybe 7/8. No. It's yes to everything. Everything. Absolutely everything. It's not, let me give you a picture of what it is not. It's not saying, Lord, you got it all, but I got a little closet here. I got a little closet here. Most people don't know about the little closet. Little closet is the place where, now, I'm not going to forgive that person. No way. Not after what they did to me. Sometimes it might be many years ago. No way. Absolutely no way am I going to forgive that person. But I'm going to be committed to you, Lord, 7/8. But that I want that little area to myself. That little behavior, that little, I don't care what it is. It might be a little addiction. It might be a big thing. It might be whatever. No. The freedom comes, absolute freedom, when we say yes. All of it. All of it, Lord Jesus. All of it. Immediately, when we say yes, something happens. We are in the house. We're just there. And then, like, I go, let me see. Let me try to rack up 20 days in a row, and then I can get in the house. No. It's yes. I don't know if I've ever done this. I'm going to do something here in a second. Because it's a daily choice that we make. It's a daily choice. It's not, I made that choice 2 weeks ago or three years ago. I made it 5 years ago. It's daily. What does Luke 9:23 says? Another one of those basic verses we learn. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. How often? Daily. Daily we make that choice. Every day. Every day. All we have to do is just wake up in the morning and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Signing up again. Yes, Lord. That's what he's wanting. If we don't do that, then we're under bondage. You know, how does God keep us there? How does God keep us there? It's often the trials, the testing, the things that are so difficult. Sometimes it's the footing going under you, just like Jeff is dealing with his wife. Now, I'm expecting a call any hour now or any day. He's there with her. It feels like the ground went under, although his faith is strong. Sometimes it's at that level. How does God keep us? Job 23:10 says, "But he knows the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I've heard some people, and I've probably done it, in a message say, "Do you want to be bronze or do you want to be gold?" You know, remember the bronze winner in the Olympics? That's the illustration sometimes people use. You know, I think there's another word that's better to describe it. It's another G word. Garbage. You want gold or garbage? Who of us wants to go to garbage? I want gold. God keeps us dependent on him through the difficulties. And sometimes it's a difficulty suffering in a church. And we all suffer. But through difficulties, God keeps us at that place of full surrender. He uses that in our lives. So here's what I don't know that I've ever done before in a message. I'm going to give just a period of prayer, a short period. And if you haven't said this recently, maybe you want to say yes right at this point in the message. And if you didn't start out the day that way, you might have started out the day and you were going down a trail of the mind was just full of worry, full of this, full of that, full of whatever. Now's the time to just simply say yes. Some of it might be returning. You haven't said this in a long time. Some of it's just today you need to. Some of it's just this hour I need to. So let's just take a brief moment, okay? So, Lord, you heard those of us that could say yes. Just bless the remainder of this message. Amen. Okay, so first is we live in the Spirit. Second, we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. I love this image. I already talked about the steps. Now, sometimes, if we're honest, don't we sort of look like that one person in the marching band that isn't in step? You have that picture in your mind? I do because I played trumpet. We went to the state fair every year. And you know, state fair, I don't know if it's the same date, used to be early part of September. And we had these uniforms in that felt like they weighed 50 pounds and 100 degree day and you're just sweating like crazy. But our band was always in step because that little Hillsboro town, every day until the state fair, we'd march up and down those streets playing our horns, the drums going, and the whole town could hear it because it's only a town of 2,500. And we had an instructor, and he did something that's kind of cool. He would never scold anybody that wasn't in step. Now, if you see a band and they're all marching perfectly in step, and here's one person out of step, that's the most visible thing you can see. You don't look at the rest of the band and say, "Wow, look at the rest of the band is in step." No, you're looking at that one that say, "Wow, why can't they get in step?" So our instructor, he would just go next to that person, and he'd just walk with them. He'd just walk with them. I can still see that in my mind's mind. That's 45 years ago. He'd just be walking along till they got in step. Sometimes he'd say, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And by the state fair, we were in step. You know, the Lord wants us all to be in step with Him. He wants us to be there. I want to give you a helpful hint of keeping in step. And this came from someone that became my friend. If you can ever say someone becomes a friend that you admire in just a few short hours together. The person was Lorne Sanny. Anybody remember his name? Not many know his name. He was a president of the organization, the Navigators. Dawson Trotman was a founder. That's a great organization that's discipled thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people around the world, greatly used of God. Lorne Sanny took over after Dawson Trotman drowned. And here he was, relatively young, with this organization spreading all over the globe, greatly used of God, tremendous pressures. And he said what he would do. Now, we had spent a weekend with him. There were 8 to 10 guys. This is after he's retired, shortly before he died. He would get a weekend, and someone from town invited me to go along with them. And we sat for a weekend. And he taught out of Psalm 128, taught his life lessons. Talk about a rich experience. One of my favorite Bible teachers. He's a phenomenal Bible teacher. So we're there for that weekend. And I will never forget this. He's talking, and he uses this illustration that had happened in his life. You know, this tremendous responsibility, running an organization, all the fundraising, the crises around the country, only probably a CEO of a large organization could understand the pressure he faced. And he said every day his staff would narrow down a stack of things he had to deal with about that high. And he couldn't sleep at night because he was just consumed with worry so often. The pressures he felt that you can kind of imagine. One day he's sitting there and he looked at that stack. And this is a paraphrase of what he said. I don't know exact words. But it was something like this. Lord, I think you can handle that better than I can. In fact, you can probably take care of a lot of those things without me around the world. So why don't you do that? And if there's a few things you leave for me to do, then that's fine. I'll try to do those things. And then, I don't know if it was at the exact time or shortly after, he started a habit. And here's the helpful thing. It has been for me. It might be for you. He said at the beginning of the day, he would think through the entire day, all the meetings he had scheduled, decisions he had to make, and he just prayed through them one by one, and dedicated them to the Lord. Then, at the end of the day, he prayed backwards through the day. The day had changed with the meetings. Some things came up, phone calls he hadn't anticipated. And he just prayed backwards through the day and dedicated those same things to the Lord. And then he looked up and smiled at us and he said, I started sleeping very good. Now, you know what I found out? I've been doing this. This was part of my summer. It's been the last year. And I'm not saying this to be boastful. In fact, if anything, it's a confession of what I should have started a lot earlier in life. But I find I need that several times a day. Because I can have a meeting that just went bad. I might have had wrong attitudes, whatever. Might have even been good meeting. And then I got the next two things lined up that caused me stress and worry. So I've started going down in this area we call it the commons. Nobody sees me go there. I'm not doing it for other people. Believe me, I'm doing this for myself. And I'll just do a little prayer walk. And I'll pray about the last couple of things that happened. And I'll pray about the next couple of things coming up. I can't currently even handle a whole day. And just commit those to the Lord. Sometimes I'll do a prayer drive. I can do that with my job. I'll just get up and won't tell anybody what I'm doing. And I'll just go take a drive and commit the next things to the Lord and dedicate what just happened. That is helpful. That keeps me walking in step. And if I got off step, it helps me get back in step. To say, Lord, that was really one bad attitude I have. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. That didn't honor you. Just get me back in step now. We all can do that. That's a powerful thing. We stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens if we go way off trail? Way off trail. Some of us have experienced that. Maybe other people didn't know it, but we were way off trail. Way off. I thought of an illustration yesterday as I was driving back. Years ago, when I was a lot younger, I took a group of guys on a horsepacking trip into the Rockies. And these were all city guys. Most of them had never been on a horse. This was the first one of the summer. And they brought these horses, and they looked like bucking broncos to us. And some of them were. We lost some guys flying off horses in that 1 week. We went up to, in the Rockies, about 10,000 foot level. We never saw another person for a week other than the people that brought some food to us. And, I had two thoughts in. One was I loved the beauty of what we were seeing, and the other was a bit of panic wherein some guy was going to go off his horse and go rolling down the mountain. God protected us. And we had a wonderful trip. Towards the end of the trip, we went rappelling one day. And so rappelling for you kids is going down something very steep, straight down. And so we did our we left the horses, did a little hike, got to the place, rappelled, had a wonderful time. We walked back through this trail, get to the where our tents are, we're sitting there, have the fire, and someone says, "Where's Collins?" We all looked around and said, "Where's Collins?" Nobody knew. He said, "When did anybody last see Collins?" It was 2 hours earlier. Now, we're way up in the mountains. And it was starting to get cold. At night, it always got below freezing because our water would be frozen in the morning. And I'm panicking. We got a missing guy way, way out away from other folk. And my mind is just imagining things. So we quickly divided up in three search parties, kept a few at the base prairie, went out, and people were, three different directions, yelling Collis' name. We had a system we were going to communicate with each other. And a while later, by the creek, here they found Collis walking back. Gets to the camp, we're overjoyed, we pray, we're thankful to God. Ask Collis, "Now how'd you find your way back?" He said, "Well, he always knew that you go to a creek. And if you go down the creek, you're finally going to get to where people are. He wanted to join us, so he went up. He knew eventually that would get close to us. Because he remembered there was a creek." And sure enough, it worked. So what do we do? When we're off trail, we go back to the river. We go back to the source of life, into the welcoming arms of Jesus. He's waiting for us. We don't earn our way back, we just come back. So if there's anybody that's been off trail, why not come back? All of us, let's just keep coming back. That's where there's freedom. That's where there's freedom. Now, I find most people want to talk, and we'll go through these next two real quick, that it's much easier to focus on these next two, and we might think that's what we want. I want the power of the Spirit, and I want the fruit of the Spirit. But remember, those first two need to be there. Now, power, it's not like weightlifting. I was a skinny guy when I was growing up, and I got my set of barbells, and I'd look in the mirror hoping someday to see a muscle, and they just didn't really show up too much. Power in the Spirit is not like that. Saying, "I'm going to get power." Now, there's disciplines that are part of this. You know, we know those meditations, memorizing scripture, prayer. We grow through these things. But it's not like we're creating power, are we? Where's the power from? It's from the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He's the one. In Romans 8:11, it says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." That's quite the power statement. God, who raised Jesus from the dead, He lives in me. Whoa! That's not this power. That's God power. That's Holy Spirit power. That is power. And that is the picture, I think. It's not like saying, okay, you got a fantastic pastor and Pastor Rob. Let me see. That when he preaches, this is how he does his arms, or this is how he says things with his voice, or, you know, if I could just do these things, if I could just copy him, if our or somebody else, if I could just copy somebody that's a woman of God, a man of God, I might have a little bit of what they have. Forget it. Now, we should learn from each other. We have examples. We should learn from people. There's a difference between learning from and copying to try to get something that only God can give. He's the only one. Now, how's this power demonstrated? Well, there's victory over sin. That's a big power thing, isn't it? There's answered prayer. There's clarity of vision, of direction. There's unity in spirit. There's many other things that are the power of the Spirit. Now, sometimes there can be, God really does something, and there's prayer for a saint who God chooses to heal. There's those kind of powers, and we should rejoice in that. But there's another kind of power that comes by the victory on the way to live that leads to all the other things that are of God. So the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And that leads to the last point, the fruit of the Spirit. Again, that list: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a great list. Then there's the fruit, the ministry fruit. You know, we read in Matthew, whether it's tenfold, 20, hundredfold, there's spiritual fruit that comes. There's ministry that flows, but that is the picture. It flows rather than it's created by us. It flows. The fruit of the Spirit just flows out of a life who's lived. And so Joyce was a great example of that to me. You know, I'd like people to say some of that about me. But not because I'm acting something. I'd like them to be able to say something that flows. And I'd like to be real quick in my mind. I know the right things to say. I'll say, no, that's not of me. No, in my mind, I'd like to just say, that was of the Lord. Glory be to God. That didn't have a lot to do with me. And that's how God wants us to live. I'm going to close this with a story. This is something that happened. I'm going to give you a phrase. In fact, I've got about 50 of these, so maybe for everyone or at least one per family that you might want to pick up afterwards. I'm going to quote this phrase in a second. I have it on a little bigger thing. It's on my wall. It's been one of the most helpful things to me in the last 15, 20 years. I'll read it quite often until I tell someone, I give my plaque away, and I got to go get another one and get another plaque. And right now I don't have one on my wall, but it's going up again here pretty quick. This is that phrase, and I'm happy to give it to you because it's not my phrase. It's a phrase from Elizabeth Elliot, the great Bible teacher. And the children here may not know the story, so just briefly, Elizabeth Elliot just went to be with the Lord just a matter of weeks ago. But she, when she was a young woman, she was, her husband Jim was 28. They were missionaries in Ecuador, and they were trying to reach the Aqua Indians, and five men were speared to death, including her husband, Jim. Just like that, it's over. And I was listening to her on the radio, and this came at a pivotal time in my life. I was driving someplace. I was the director. I was the interim director of this one place in our ministry. Not because I wanted to be, because there was nobody else right at that moment. It was a staff that was in great distress, disunified, and so on. And I had no answers. I knew I had no answers. But they were relying on me to come fix something. I probably could find within 2 miles of that spot where this happened today. So I have the radio on, and I remember a prayer I said. Now, it wasn't really a prayer. It was just sort of a state of affairs. I said, God, I would right now write a check for $1,000 and give it away in a minute if I could turn this car around and go back and you would handle this. Because I have no clue what to do. I don't want to do it. I don't feel the strength to do it. There's nothing in me, that wants to go through this. Have the radio on Elizabeth Elliott. She used to, I think it was like a 15-minute teaching she would do. Not a very long one. Probably some of you heard her at different times. She tells a story of losing her husband. And she said, you know what carried me? A phrase that my mother told me all the time when I was growing up. This phrase was so clear in my mind. She would say it over and over again. You know what I did? I literally pulled my car over to the side of the road on the freeway, get my pen out, and have a piece of paper. Because I'm looking for anything. At that point, that's going to help me. And when she kept saying, this is a phrase, I'd say, get to the phrase. I want to hear the phrase. You know, what is it? What's this phrase? And then finally she said it. And it's so simple, but it is so true. I had my good friend Tim Ladwig, who's a lot of these paintings around here are ones he painted. I said, Tim, can you just write this down in a nice way so it looks good so I can have it on my wall? And so he did. And here's what it is. Find the next thing to do and do it right. Think of that. Find the next thing to do and do it right. How often do we know the outcomes of things? We don't. And we get into problems and we get, oh, what can we do? I can't solve the whole world. I can't solve much of anything. But I sure as a world can find the next thing to do and do it with the right heart, do it under the Holy Spirit's control, under His direction. And then trust He's going to lead me to the next thing. Find the next thing to do and what? Do it right. Get it right. And the thing is, I don't think this works real well. I mean, God in His grace, He can just meet us at a messy time when we've been all screwed up and da-da-da-da-da-da. And we finally say, Lord, here I am. And He comes in and rescues. He really does that. But to live this way, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, means we practice this over and over again. Lord, this next conversation, this next meeting, can I please get it right? Would you help me? Whatever the next thing is. So, that's what I want to leave you with. If you don't remember anything else, you can just come and get this little phrase. Stick it in your Bible someplace where you might remind it. Find the next thing and do it right. Why don't we have a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, it is so comforting to know that You are our guide, that Your Holy Spirit is with us. We know these pictures from the Bible, the comforter, the healer, the source of power. You're the one who walks with us, direction. We thank You for that. What a wonderful gift to us, Lord, that we're not left to our own ideas. It's not like I got to gather two people around me and say, what do I do next? Lord, we can walk with you hand in hand. And I pray that there would be a lot of hand-holding today, just for all of us, Lord, that we would hold close to you, that you would walk with us. You would be our strength. You'd be our power. You'd be the fruit in our lives. And so go with us now today, and we thank you for your love and your faithfulness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.